In high-value properties, whether commercial, corporate, or critical infrastructure, security isn't just about access control. It's about protecting investments, people, and business continuity. From AI-driven surveillance to predictive risk intelligence, security technology is transforming how assets are secured. In this special edition of Security Connected North America, hosted by Jordan Braff, a Douglas Elliman real estate agent and cast member of Netflix's new real estate series, Selling the City, we dive into the biggest security trends shaping the future of asset protection with industry leaders Mike Evans and Milton Plett.
Hi, gentlemen. Good morning. We are here in beautiful DC. I'm so excited to have you here today. I'm Jordan Braff from Douglas Elliman. I sell high-value properties to luxury clients between LA and New York City. And one of the questions I get so often is about security. So I'm excited to kind of pick your guys' brains today.
Good morning, Jordan. My name is Milton Pratt. With a great team of professionals, I lead our global clients' data center group.
Good morning, both. I'm Mike Evans, director of the Risk Intelligence Center, and it's our mission to provide customers with actionable intelligence on what's going on around the world, why it matters to them, to help protect their people, property assets, and whatever else matters most to them.
As a real estate professional, I've seen firsthand how security is critical, providing protection for high-value properties, corporate spaces, and large-scale developments. I think with AI and with risk intelligence advancing rapidly, today's conversation, it's going to be important to explore how we get security professionals, security leaders, investors, and corporate decision makers to kind of stay ahead of these emerging threats. Mike, you're with the Risk Intelligence Center. Let's discuss the proactive risk intelligence for real estate security. So how can data-driven risk intelligence help real estate developers, corporate tenants, and property owners proactively mitigate security threats?
So in an ever more interconnected world, there is ever more opportunity for businesses to flourish. But where there is opportunity, there is also risk. And organizations are having to increasingly monitor an ever-changing and ever-growing number of data points around the world in a 24/7, 365 basis to determine what's going on around the world, and why does it matter to them, and what they can do about it. And also we're finding that what happens in one part of the world has the ability to insight, inspire, influence, and impact on the other side of the world. So people are becoming more aware that things are going bang, but what do they now do about it?
Right.
So by starting with awareness of what's going on, we're able then to work with clients and then provide them the insight of why it matters to them, but most importantly, from an advisory perspective, what they should be doing about it to manage risk or even to mitigate a threat before it becomes a risk.
Sure.
So by combining intelligence with the protective services that the Securitas offers, whether it's things like guarding, mobile technology, etc., you can craft tailored solutions to support that client in their time of need, or better yet, kind of plan ahead, be informed, and in control.
All right, Mike, what risk intelligence solutions does Securitas offer that provides real-time threat detection for commercial and luxury properties?
So we have different services that can be tailored to different client needs, whether or not that is luxury and kind of retail, corporate real estate, data centers, etc. But fundamentally, these come from three kind of core areas of service. One, which is awareness of what is going on around the world, the most significant developments and why they matter to organizations. Alerting, which is providing intelligence about specific events for kind of warning and actions on in response to that alert. And then advisory style intelligence, sitting down with a customer and going, what is it that matters most to you? Identifying things like your protective intelligence requirements, which could be your brand, your operations, it could be your executive or your supply chain, and then proactively monitoring for any indicators and warnings that, you know, they are at risk or is a threat to those, and then be able to, you know, utilizing the services that Securitas offer, create a solution to that problem before it becomes an issue. So in short, awareness of what's happening, alerting for where you need to know about something there, and then an advisory more specific to you and about what matters most to you.
Okay. I know earlier we talked about data centers. I don't know if that kind of plays into that for you, Milton.
Absolutely. This is hugely important for our data center clients, you can imagine where in the past they used to procure security services purely from a guarding perspective. This really allows us to look at this for as broad as possible, but also to move away from a reactive way of looking at security to much more proactive.
Right.
So we need to be a lot more dynamic in the way we operate ourselves and in the way we support our clients today. But having this type of data really allows us to be a lot more interactive with them, thinking about what security needs to look like based on the intelligence that we can provide to them.
That's wonderful.
Hugely important for us.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you guys cover a very wide scope now of things. Blows my mind. I thought we had security dogs and that was it. A little security system and we move on. Getting more into AI and smart surveillance in real estate, how does AI-powered security help real estate developers detect threats before they escalate?
So AI really gives you the speed, scale, and scope to deliver on, you know, threat detection and security services of that. Whether or not that is using AI to monitor kind of what we refer to as the open source and detecting things like keyword mentions of you as a brand or your site name, or even like geofencing, going, hey, there's someone that's posting graffiti pictures online or something to that effect. It's giving you the ability to know what's going on outside the perimeter from an open source perspective. But if you then combine AI with things like CCTV or what have you, you can look at then, you know, identifying objects within the CCTV view, whether or not that is someone with some kind of a concealed weapon or a banner or what have you, that speeds up the time to respond.
I'd imagine it's at an impossible speed that all these things are happening.
It keeps it busy. Again, it's 24/7, 365. It does feel a little bit like 25/8, 366 sometimes, but that's where that speed, scale, and scope comes in. But it's the combination of AI with the human, I would add, you know, because a human is going to give you context that the machine is not going to do that. And a human also can then interact and take action.
What Securitas AI-driven solutions set you apart from competitors in securing commercial properties, corporate campuses, and luxury development clients?
So we do have our own in-house AI function and team, which allows us to not just use AI, but also pioneer its use. And we have a number of different initiatives in this space. One of the biggest ones, particularly for kind of the sector we're talking about today, and others, to be fair, right, is what we refer to as risk prediction, which is taking data from what's happening in the world, open source, but also taking data from things like the Guard reports. Again, 300,000 people around the world, and we've got guards on patrol around these different assets. You know, what are the things they're seeing on the ground? Capturing those reports and then putting it into an AI model and then predicting or forecasting when are threat and risk events most likely to occur and what are the ones most likely to happen. So is there an increase in crime in certain parts of the year, but become even more granular, are there certain times of the day that it becomes a higher level of risk, right? Which then allows us to tailor the solution, not just on the, hey, this is what you need across the year, but you might need more on this day or on this hour, as it were. So risk prediction for us is something from an AI modeling perspective.
Fascinating.
Of going, you know, here's what's happening, here's what could happen next, and here's what we should do about it together.
And I think this is a very important point and very important for what we do, of course, today. You can imagine with almost 150,000 officers today securing not only data centers, the amount of data that we capture just on a day-to-day basis, if we can feed that into one database, you're sitting on top of a load of potentially important information for all of our clients.
Right.
And AI then helps us to indeed detect what's happening, when it's happening, and potentially predict how we can prevent that. And that then allows us to be a lot more flexible, but a lot more proactive when it comes to security in general, and provide our clients with substantial and necessary information that they need.
You guys are really telling the future over there.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, so speaking about these, you know, the security guard in the cage watching this gate go up and down, you know, we are now looking at a world where we have mobile and remote guarding.
Yes.
How is that complementing the traditional on-site security guard?
Yeah, I I think it allows us to move away from looking at guarding as a static solution.
Yes.
Towards moving, looking at guarding as a more dynamic solution.
Okay.
A solution that is flexible. A solution that can adapt to what's happening on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. I think there are still clients that are very much looking at the static part, but inevitably they will have to move away from that because of how dynamic the world is today. And I think remote guarding as one solution offers us to move away and move towards a much more dynamic approach.
I completely agree. And I think if you look at security, security is actually about needs and risk. So client will have a need based on its service, what it needs to do, but also from a compliance perspective, but also from a risk. And if there is no risk to the client, is there a need for security, right? So when there are periods of heightened risk or heightened threat, as it were, you can adapt the security service utilizing things like mobile, remote, etc., to respond to that proactively and maximize your return on investment. You don't need to have 100 people every day at one site that does not face the same level of risk every single day.
Right.
And this is what's happening more and more, where clients are looking at fully outsourcing security towards Securitas. So now let us decide how much security you need based on the information we have, based on the data that we look at, based on the risk that we see for them today. We are then assigned towards defining what security needs to look like. Yeah. And that's really looking at remote guarding, looking at technology, looking at data, looking at potentially other types of security solutions, because we understand what the risks are. So they're leaving it up to us to look at, okay, what's the solution that I need?
And that's it, right? It's that keyword solution. We're talking a lot more about solutions these days within the business, working with customers. It's going away from, I need this many hours for my site. I need this many cameras. Instead of going, hey, what is the solution to the challenges that I face by leveraging the protective services?
Now, again, this is me not coming from a security background. So with mobile guarding, is that now AI on the other side of those cameras? Who's like, we're saying that we're not going to put a physical security guard here necessarily. There's going to be some cameras, I assume, here, and then someone on the other side watching this, or is this computer doing that work?
So it's a mix. It's a mobile guard. I think it's about deploying a mobile officer with a vehicle to a site, which is either, you know, during core hours of business, you know, when everyone's coming in the morning and leaving out. Is an officer needed all day at that post? You don't need as many. You can use mobile to kind of fill the gap, as it were.
Okay.
And AI is then stepping in to help determine the trends, patterns, behaviors, right?
Got it.
From a remote guarding perspective, then, you're utilizing things like the sensor at the site, whether or not it is CCTV or another kind of sensor from an access control perspective or whatever else it may be, to go, right, we have detected something at the site via remote means, and now what kind of intervention do we need? So it's utilizing these different forms of collection, as it were, from a data perspective, and going, hey, what's the insights available to us? And now what do you do about it?
Yeah, why wouldn't you have all of the above?
Yep.
So focusing more on data centers and critical infrastructure, these sites are among the highest risk properties, right? So how do security solutions differ for these types of environments?
I think the biggest difference you see in the fact that data centers are much more for compliance-driven environments.
Yes.
In other words, in most cases, our clients do not have a choice.
Sure.
Are just strict requirements, dependent on the country, of course, dependent on the risk, on security measures that they need to have in place, either pre-construction, during construction, or during operations. And I think that's different from your typical office or retail location, where as an owner, you have much more, you know, you can flex, you can think about, oh, these are the things I would like, and these are the things that I don't really need. Mm-hmm. I think data centers, given the fact that they are considered critical, just need to have certain specific security measures in place to operate.
Right.
Access control among one of them. But there are various other, I think, security solutions that they just need to have to be able to operate.
I think as well with that, the criticality of data centers, being critical infrastructure and other forms of critical infrastructure, because they are so valuable, there are people that want to target them. So you've got the full kind of breadth of the threat landscape, from things like petty crime all the way through to things like various types of activism and nation states targeting things like data centers because of the value that they own. So typically, things like critical infrastructure are on the bleeding edge of emerging threats. So, for example, we've seen in kind of recent months and years an increase in drones targeting things like critical infrastructure, whether it's data centers or not. And that may be because the drone there is doing a kind of surveillance, and whether it's snooping on the site and trying to extract the data remotely, or it could be that that drone is the payload and it's going to do some kind of, you know, physical attack, as it were. So with data centers and critical infrastructure, you know, sadly, they're also at that bleeding edge of the emerging threats. So you have to be ahead of, not just keeping up with, but ahead of what those threats are, so you can best prepare critical infrastructure for what is coming next.
Does Securitas in particular, does the intelligence-led approach provide customized protection for high-value, high-risk facilities?
Yeah, I think it does. I think the COVID years were a perfect example or a perfect test of that, because offices were closing, data centers could not close. Data centers need to continue to operate. They need the people inside to be able to keep the data center operational. Mm-hmm. And our clients were really struggling to understand what was happening. It was the fact that we were able to provide them with information that was relevant to them, that they could make the right decisions.
Yeah.
How many employees do we need to keep our data center open? How many security officers do we need? Mm-hmm. What type of security solutions do we need to keep our guests safe, to keep our employees safe? Those were questions that at that moment were relevant.
I fully agree. And I think we're also talking a lot about resilience in the industry, increasingly in security, right? But it was about 10, 15 years ago that in the kind of world of business continuity that resilience really came into play. Like, business continuity is all about when things go bang, what plan do we have to continue operations?
Right.
Whereas resilience is more about being agile, being able to absorb when things go bang and continue carrying on. What intelligence allows us to do, or intelligence-led security, is to develop a resilient organization that can just deal with those, you know, acute shocks or chronic stresses when they happen, but also if there are needs to have more specific plans or specific controls in place to these more emerging or acute threats, you've got them good to go.
I think that's an important point.
Yeah.
Because during COVID, it was also about what's noise and what are facts.
Yes. Right.
Really understanding what's happening.
Yeah.
What's the US doing? What are some of those major markets doing that we operate?
Yeah.
And how do we need to now respond to that?
Yeah.
Right.
I think clients were struggling in certain cases, and the fact that we were able to provide them with the latest information allowed them to make the right decisions. And again, you can't do that if you're not a trusted advisor, you don't have a seat around the table, you don't really understand what type of information they need.
Yes.
And I think critical was a perfect test, at least for Securitas, to be able to prove to our clients that we are relevant, that we can bring that added value, particularly during a crisis situation.
The comfort, I'm sure, that brought during that time.
It's the assurance, right?
Yeah.
Now, we talk about the fact you need to have the ability for alarm when you need to be raising that alarm.
Right.
You have to provide that assurance that actually it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
This looks like it's scary, but it's fine, and here's why. But the assurance that someone's still keeping an eye on it,
right?
But also that just general ongoing awareness, which can lead to early warning as well.
Mm-hmm. It's all about sending out that signal: we've got you.
Yeah,
we've got this.
Peace of mind.
We have the information. We have the people. Yes, countries are closing down. Yes, offices are closing down. But we're staying.
Right.
Even if we have to stay 24/7, we're staying.
It's great.
So it's really about adding value.
Yes.
So looking forward, how do you see the data-driven security insights advancing in the next decade or so for critical infrastructure and high-value properties?
I think for me, the big thing that we're seeing is that understanding within organizations of the need to use data for decision-making. Like, before we go and make a decision, before we go and do anything, have we got anything that helps inform the decision we're going to make? But also, that then provides us the confidence the decisions we're making are the right ones. I think for me, it's more that soft kind of understanding, as it were, that we have all this now available to us. because we're collecting it. And if we can put it all together, we can do something with it. And that's going to be a mix of the clients going, hey, we would love to achieve this. And it's a mix of us from a security perspective as the experts going, hey, this is where we know we can apply this data to support clients in their needs.
Yeah, good point. Because I think the challenge, particularly when it comes to data center clients right now, is there's so much data that's going to become available. How can you shift out the data that I don't need and bring me the data that I actually need to
have? Right.
And I think that's going to be the challenge for us. I think that's going to be a challenge for any company. But if you are successful in bringing them the data that they need, that's where I see the biggest advancements, right?
Okay. Now, there's this perception that maybe AI could replace personal security. How does Securitas integrate AI to enhance rather than replace the human experience?
Well, you can't predict the future, of course. So, I mean, we do know that security will change inevitably. It has to. Mm-hmm. It has to. But I think it will always be, at least for the next few years, a combination of technology, AI, and people together. Because that brings in itself the strongest defense for our clients.
Right.
But it will change inevitably. It will.
And spot on again. I bring it back to it's the combination of the two, the layering of the two. AI is going to give you that speed, scale, and scope, like we said. But with humans, you're going to get insight and expertise that the AI is not going to have. But also you're able to kind of read between the lines and see things that AI may miss.
Right.
When it comes to kind of our side of the business that we're in, the RIC, we've got individuals from all walks and talks of life, both professionally and then and personally. So if you've not guessed by like my bad haircut and jokes, I'm ex-military, right? But then we've got others from like a policing environment, kind of other public sector or other agencies, as it were, trilateral or not. You've got people from like a private sector background, people from academia, etc. But those are the professional backgrounds with different skill sets, whether it's in things like national security, critical national infrastructure, etc. But it's also their personal backgrounds, like people from all walks and talks of life, from all different cultures, so that when you are providing advice on entering a market, you haven't got the pale male stale guy from Western Europe saying, hey, what about this for global South, as it were? You're able to leverage someone from that part of the
world
with those personal insights and those cultural insights to go, here's what it's actually like. And AI can't do that.
Right.
So it's the combination of the two.
And I think the biggest change that we will see happen in the industry is the officer or the security officers themselves. Because if we can provide them with the right tools and the right information, they can become a lot more effective and a lot more efficient.
Right.
So I think the officer of the future will utilize AI and technology to become smarter and to become more effective.
Yeah.
I think that's where the biggest change is going to take place, where you potentially may need less officers, but higher qualified and much more advanced when it comes to how they look at security and what tools they utilize.
Okay. Well, I think it really speaks to the fact that security is a profession.
Yes. Yes.
And the professionalism within that, and there are certain skills, technologies, behaviors that are required. I think it helps that journey.
Yes. Moving away from how we would look at security in the past, an officer sitting at a gate and just watching the gate open and close,
right,
towards this highly advanced, highly trained, having the right tools type of officer who has the right information at the right time to make the right decision.
All right. Today, much of our discussion focused on protecting high-value properties and, corporate campuses. But these intelligent security strategies are needed far beyond real estate, from those commercial developments and corporate campuses to data centers and critical infrastructure. AI-driven risk intelligence and mobile remote guarding are reshaping asset protection as well.
Yes.
So let's explore kind of the biggest security trends when it comes to Securitas experts in the asset protection department. So beyond real estate, how is AI transforming security for industries like finance and healthcare and critical infrastructure?
all of these, each kind of industry has its own need, right? And it's, again, leveraging the data available to serve those particular needs. And we've mentioned a couple of industries there, but I think the one thing that kind of recent events has really, really shown is the fragility in supply chains globally. And that can often get forgotten about behind the fact that, oh, financial services or healthcare, but each of these organizations has a supply chain.
Right.
And something, your resources are having to come from somewhere, either domestically or internationally, what have you, and being able to leverage insights on what is happening across your organization, even before it comes into the organization, both, you know, downstream and upstream, as it were, to go, hey, we're in this particular sector. This is what matters most to us. But going, hey, this is how across our value chain, as it were, the threats we face and what they mean to us. So for us, I think, yes, it's definitely worth looking at the specialized requirements of each industry and the assets that it needs to protect. But it's also about going, hey, what can we learn from elsewhere?
And I think clients are changing.
Yes.
I think it will force clients to change how they look at security today. If you're a real estate agent and you have a portfolio of buildings today, how you look at security today compared to how you looked at security in the past is already different. Imagine if you now need to predict the next 5 years.
Yes. Right.
With all of these, AI is entering, technology is becoming a lot more advanced. I think your clients are becoming a lot more,
absolutely,
lot more advanced. Mm-hmm. Risks are becoming increasingly important. Now, how do you look at security in general? I think you need a partner. You need a company that can help you with that. And I think that's where Securitas today plays the most important role it has ever played.
Yes.
Is really understanding what's happening and being able to translate that in tangible solutions for clients.
Absolutely. How does AI-driven threat detection improve security for corporate headquarters and industrial facilities, global enterprises?
I mean, for corporate HQs in particular, and for the kind of the real kind of presence estates, as it were, or even individuals, AI's threat detection is able to sift through that noise and identify the signals that matter most. And this could be, like we've said, you know, monitoring for keywords, like the name of the organization, certain brand reputational assets or the executives, and going, hey, it's been mentioned in this particular context.
Right.
And there's a potential threat around that. Or it could be utilizing AI within the operation, not just from the monitoring side of life, but going, hey, we're seeing a trend, a pattern or behavior here that we should be doing something about. So for us, it's about, you know, leveraging that AI within whatever we're providing to the customer to crank from 10 to 11.
And how about, you know, on the risk intelligence side, how can risk intelligence solutions help companies anticipate and then mitigate threats beyond physical security?
So, I mean, the three big areas we're seeing customers coming to us with needs at the minute. And the first one's an element of physical security. The first one's executive protection. Mm-hmm. We're becoming more aware of the value and understanding of the value that our leaders have, and the fact that these individuals, by the nature of their role, do get targeted by individuals because of their individual grievances. So we're first seeing executive protection. We're also seeing a real understanding and increase of the importance of brand and reputation integrity. And security actually plays a huge part there in being able to monitor for threats to their brand and reputation integrity. As an example, to go back a few years ago, we all remember COVID-19. It's something that we're never going to get away from, right? The first time that we did kind of intelligence and security on COVID-19 was actually the 31st of December, 2019. Kind of weeks, if not months, before it became the household name that it became in years to come. And a lot of our customers we were working with back then in the early January, we were saying, look, we've seen reports of this kind of emerging over in Asia, and we have an assessment that this has the potential to be a pandemic. And if that's the case, these are the kind of impacts that's going to happen, and these are the impacts on your organization. So customers are coming to us then and go, well, what do we do about this? Like, how do we prepare for this? How do we get ahead of this? And there were some customers we were working with who were already like refreshing the crisis management plans, dusting them off, because again, they get put in the top drawer as well. Or even ordering more laptops or that kind of thing, just getting ready for it. So that when what happened in different parts of the world and lockdowns came in, some organizations were already working from home. There was no operational disruption, but also some of them had managed to turn crisis into opportunity. Sure. So security, as much as it is seen as that cost center, and he goes, that's saying the industry and we have to move away from it, right? By being the trusted advisor, security provides a competitive edge. And more we're seeing the reports and kind of anecdotes, as it were, the things like CSOs, they're increasingly getting a, you know, seat at the table within the organization to advise amongst the C-suite on strategy and how best to not just protect the organization, but, you know, maintain operations to achieve the objectives and indeed seek out the opportunities.
There are a lot of lessons learned from that period that we can apply today.
Okay.
Because as Mike already mentioned, we know something like this may or will happen again.
In 5 years, in
some shape or form, we will face a crisis.
Right.
Data centers, hospitals, electricity, all of these areas will need to continue to operate. So that period has really brought us a lot of lessons on business continuity, on having a trusted partner, on understanding the value of information and data to be able to support.
I fully agree. And it's the importance of resilience.
Yes.
Like if we take a look at recent events as an example, we're less than a week after the a fire at an electrical substation in Heathrow. And that basically shut down Heathrow for a 24-hour period. And Heathrow is one of the, you know, major global hubs of travel, transport, and supply chains around the world. But if you look at Heathrow and where it sits, there are three substations, right? And one of them went offline. There were two others that were still online. And there's some interesting questions of should it have shut down. What's also really interesting is that around the Heathrow area, there are a lot of data centers. And they didn't go down. So the airport, critical infrastructure, went down because of power disruption related issues, right? Because its own resilience measures based on open source reporting weren't able to stand up and keep operations going.
Okay.
But the data centers kept going.
Indeed.
So there's a lesson learned there in that if from a critical infrastructure perspective, you've got this major travel hub and these data centers, one got something right.
Right. And these are all things Securitas helps to secure. Wow.
Yeah.
Mike, Milton, thank you guys so much for joining us today. I have learned so much today about Securitas and all the incredible offerings that data centers is going to live in my mind forever. Do data centers have data centers? That's my question. Who protects the data centers?
We put data in your data center.
Yeah.
You can have data.
Securitas protects the data.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for joining today. Have a beautiful day. Enjoy the rest of DC has to offer today. And thank you.
Now, a real estate perspective from Jordan Braff, as she shares how today's security innovations are reshaping the value conversation in home sales.
I think we as real estate agents have a lot to learn when it comes to security. It is not something, obviously, we have to learn. It is not part of getting our license. It's not part of necessarily selling a home. But the more I think about it and the more I've learned today, I think we're going to see in the future how much these security systems, especially more of the AI-driven ones, are going to be not wanted, but almost a need and bare minimum in homes going forward. So I think it is our job to know them and know them well so that we can sell them properly and inform properly when it comes to what's available to our clients. One takeaway I had from today's conversation is that you don't know what you need protection from necessarily until you hear from professionals or experts around you. And I think a lot of times you hear stories of what happened instead of what could have been avoided. And so moving forward, these conversations are going to be important because we can mitigate these problems from happening if we make security kind of the bare minimum. It's part of the conversation no matter what, instead of an added, you know, a supplemental thing. It's not. It should be, what is the square footage, how many bedrooms, and what's the security system?
AI and risk intelligence are redefining how real estate leaders protect their investments, assets, and people. As technology continues to evolve, staying ahead of security risks will be critical for commercial developers, high net worth property owners, and corporate real estate leaders. Thank you to our experts and to all of you for joining this special edition of Security Connected North America.